Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to my dramatic reading of R.A. Salvatore's The Legend of Driz series. My name is Chadwick Daigle, and I want to thank everybody for the support that you've been sending out. All the folks that really enjoy the series and have been enjoying my reading in this podcast, I thank you very much. I'm glad that you all enjoy it quite a bit. I think I'm going to get into it here pretty quickly. But first, I want to let you know that I do understand it has been quite a while in between my posts for this podcast, and I apologize for that. But we are going to do this. I will finish the Dark Elf trilogy, and we are actually almost finished with Exile here. We've only got a few chapters left to go. So, without further ado, this is The Legend of Drizzt, Book 2, Exile, Chapter 18, The Element of Surprise. The spirit wraith picked his silent way through the broken and twisting corridors, traveling with the light and practical steps of a veteran drow warrior. But the mind flayers, guided by their central brain, anticipated Zaknafian's course perfectly and were waiting for him. As Zaknafian came beside the same stone ridge where Belwar and Clacker had fallen, an illith had jumped out at him and, whoop, blasted its stunning energy. At that close range, few creatures could have resisted such a powerful blow, but Zaknafian was an undead thing, a being not of this world. The proximity of Zaknafian's mind, linked to another plane of existence, could not be measured in steps. Impervious to such mental attacks, the spirit wraith's swords dive straight in, each taking the startled illithid in one of its milky, pupilless eyes. The three other mind flayers floated down from the ceiling, loosing their stunning blasts as they came. Swords in hand, Zaknafian waited confidently for them, but the mind flayers continued their descent. Never before had their mental attacks failed them. They could not believe that the incapacitating cones of energy would prove futile now. Phoop! A dozen times the illithids fired, but the spirit wraith seemed not to notice. The illithids, beginning to worry, tried to reach inside Zaknafian's thoughts to understand how he had possibly avoided the effects. What they found was a barrier beyond their penetrating capabilities, a barrier that transcended their present plane of existence. They had witnessed Zaknafian's swordplay against their unfortunate companion and had no intention of engaging this skilled drow in melee combat. Telepathically, they promptly agreed to reverse their direction. But they descended too far. Zaknafian cared nothing for the illithids and would have walked contentedly off on his way. To the illithids' misfortune, though, the spirit wraith's instincts and Zaknafian's past life knowledge of mind flayers led him to a simple conclusion. If Drizzt had traveled this way, and Zaknafian knew he had, he most likely had encountered the mind flayers. An undead being could defeat them, but a mortal drow, even Drizzt, would find himself at a sorry disadvantage. Zaknafian sheathed one sword and sprang up under the ridge of stone. In the blur of a second fast leap, the spirit wraith caught one of the rising illithids by the ankle. Phoop! The creature blasted again, but it was a doomed thing, with little defense against Zaknafian's slashing sword. With incredible strength, the spirit wraith heaved himself straight up, his sword leading the way. The illithid slapped down at the blade vainly, but its empty hands could not defeat the spirit wraith's aim. Zaknafian's sword sliced up through the mind flayer's belly and into its heart and lungs. Gasping and clutching at the huge wound, the illithid could only watch helplessly as Zaknafian found his footing and kicked off the mind flayer's chest. The dying illithid tumbled away, head over heels, and slammed into the wall, then hung grotesquely in midair even after death, its blood spattering the floor below. Zaknafian's leap sent him crashing to the next floating illithid, and the momentum took both of them into the last of the group, arms flailed and tentacles waving wildly, seeking some hold in the drow warrior's flesh. More deadly, though, was the blade, and a moment later, the spirit wraith pulled free of his latest two victims, enacted a levitation spell of his own, and floated gently back to the stone floor. Zaknafian walked calmly, away, leaving three Illithids hanging dead in the air for the duration of their levitation spells, and a fourth dead on the floor. The spirit wraith did not bother to wipe the blood from his swords. He realized that very soon there would be more killing. The two mind flayers continued observing the panther's entity. They did not know it, but Guinevere was aware of their presence. In the astral plane, where material senses such as smell and taste had no meaning, the panther substituted other subtle senses. Here, Guinevere hunted through a sense that translated the emanations of energy into clear mental images, and the panther could readily distinguish between the aura of an elk and a rabbit without ever seeing the particular creature. Illithids were not so uncommon on the astral plane, and Guinevere recognized their emanations. The panther had not yet decided whether their presence was mere coincidence or was in some way connected to the fact that Drizzt had not called in many days. The apparent interest the mind flayer showed in Guinevere suggested the latter a most disturbing notion to the panther. Still, Guinevere did not want to make the first move against so dangerous an enemy. The panther continued his daily routines, keeping a wary eye on the unwanted audience. Guinevere noticed the shift in the mind flayer's emanations as the creatures began a rapid descent back to the material plane. The panther could wait no longer. Springing through the stars, Guinevere charged upon the mind flayers, occupied in their efforts to begin their return journey. The Illithids did not react until it was too late. The panther dived in below one, catching its silvery cord in fangs of sharp light. Guinevere's neck flexed and twisted, and the silvery cord snapped. The helpless Illithid drifted away, a castaway on the astral plane. The other mind flayer, more concerned with saving itself, ignored its companion's frenzied pleas and continued its descent toward the planar tunnel that would return it to its corporeal body. The Illithid almost slipped beyond Guinevere's reach, but the panther's claws latched on firmly just as it had entered the planar tunnel. Guinevere rode along. From his little stone island, Clacker saw the commotion growing all through the long and narrow cavern. Illithids rushed all about, telepathically commanding slaves into defensive formations. Lookouts disappeared through every exit, while other mind flayers floated up into the air to keep a general watch on the situation. Clacker recognized that some crisis had come upon the community, and a single logical thought forced its way through the Hookor's base thinking. If the mind flayers became preoccupied with some new enemy, this might be his chance to escape. With a new focus to his thinking, Clacker's peck side found a firm footing. His largest problem would be the chasm, for he certainly could not leap across it. He figured that he could toss a gray dwarf or a roe the distance, but that would hardly aid his own escape. Clacker's gaze fell on the lever of the bridge, then back to his companions on the stone island. The bridges retracted. The higher level leaned toward the island. A well-aimed projectile might push it back. Clacker banged his huge claws together, an action that reminded him of Belwer, and hoisted a great dwarf high into the air. The unfortunate creature soared toward the lever but came up short, instead slamming into the chasm wall and plummeting to its death. Clacker stamped an angry foot and turned to find another missile. He had no idea of how he would get to Drizzt and Belwer, and at that moment he didn't pause to worry about them. Clacker's problem right now was getting off this prison island. This time a young rove went high into the air. There was no subtlety, no secrecy to Zaknafian's entrance. Having no fear of the Mind Flayer's primary attack methods, the spirit wraith walked straight into the long and narrow cavern, right out into the open. A group of three Illithids descended on him immediately, loosing their stunning blasts. Again, the spirit wraith walked through the mental energy without a flinch, and the three Illithids found the same fate as the four that had stood against Zaknafian out in the tunnels. Then came the slaves, desiring only to please their masters. Goblins, gray dwarves, orcs, and even a few ogres charged at the drow invader. Some brandished weapons, but most had only their hands and teeth, thinking to bury the lone drow under their sheer numbers. Zaknafian's swords and feet were too quick for such straightforward tactics. The spirit wraith danced and slashed, darting in one direction, then reversing his motion suddenly and hacking down his closest pursuers. Behind the action, the Illithids formed their own defensive lines, reconsidering the wisdom of their tactics. Their tentacles wiggled wildly as the mental communications flooded forth, trying to make some sense of this unexpected turn. They had not trusted enough in their slaves to hand them all weapons, but as slave after slave fell to the stone, clawing at mortal wounds, the mind flayers came to regret their mounting losses. Still, the Illithids believed they would win out. Behind them, more groups of slaves were being herded down to join the fray. The lone invader would tire, his steps would slow, and their horde would crush him. The mind flayers could not know the truth of Zaknathian. They could not know that he was an undead thing, a magically animated thing that would not tire and would not slow. Belwer and his master watched the spasmodic jerking of one of the Illithid bodies, a telltale sign that the host spirit was returning from its astral journey. Belwer did not understand the implications of the convulsive movements, but he sensed that his master was glad, and that, in turn, pleased him. But Belwer's master was also a bit concerned that only one of his companions was returning, for the central brain's summons took the higher priority and could not be ignored. The mind flayer watched as its companion's spasms settled into a pattern, and then was even more confused, for a dark mist appeared around the body. At the same instant the Illithid returned to the material plane, Belwer's master telepathically shared in his pain and terror. But before Belwer's master could begin to react, though, Guinevere materialized atop the seated Illithid, tearing and slashing at the body. Belwer froze as a flicker of a recognition coursed through him. "Bivrip," he whispered under his breath. And then, "Drizzt," and the image of the kneeling drow came clearly into his mind. "Kill it, my brave champion, do it, kill it," Belwer's master implored, but it was already too late for the Illithid's unfortunate companion. The seated mind flayer flailed away frantically. Its tentacles wriggled and latched into the cat in an attempt to get at Guinevere's brain. Guinevere swiped across with a mighty claw, a single blow that tore the Illithid's octopus head from its shoulders. Belwer, his hands still enchanted from his work in the cubby, advanced slowly toward the panther, his steps bound not by fear but by confusion. The burrow warden turned to his master and asked, "Guinevere?" The mind flayer knew that it had given too much back to the Svefnebon. The recall of the enchanting spell had inspired other dangerous memories in this slave. No longer could Belwer be relied upon. Guinevere sensed the Illithid's intent and sprang out from the dead mind flayer only an instant before the remaining creature blasted at Belwer. Guinevere hit the burrow warden squarely, sending him sprawling to the floor. Feline muscles flexed and strained as the cat landed, turning Guinevere on the spot at an angle for the room's exit. Whoop! The mind flayer's assault clipped Belwer as he tumbled, but the deep gnome's confusion and his mounting rage held off the insidious attack. For that one moment, Belwer was free, and he rolled to his feet, viewing the Illithid as the wretched and evil thing that it was. "Go, Guinevere!" the burrow warden cried, and the cat needed no prodding. As an astral being, Guinevere understood much about Illithid society and knew the key to any battle against a lair of such creatures. The panther flew against the door with all its weight, busting out onto the balcony high above the chamber that held the central brain. Belwer's master, fearing for its god thing, tried to follow, but the deep gnome's strength had returned tenfold with his anger, and his wounded arm felt no pain as he smashed his enchanted hammer hand into the squishy flesh of the Illithid's head. Sparks flew and scorched the Illithid's face, and the creature slammed back into the wall, its milky, pupilless eyes staring at Belwer in disbelief. Then it slid ever so slowly to the floor, down into the darkness of death. 40 feet below the room, the kneeling drow sensed his revered master's fear and outrage and looked up just as the black panther sprang out into the air. Fully entranced by the central brain, Driz did not recognize Guinevere as his former companion and dearest friend. He saw at that moment only a threat to the being he most loved. But Drizzt and the other massaging slaves could only watch helplessly as the mighty panther, teeth bared and paws wide, plummeted down onto the middle of the bulbous mass of veined flesh that ruled the illithid community. Chapter 19. Headaches. Approximately 120 illithids resided in and around the stone castle in the long, narrow cavern. And every one of them felt the same searing headache when Guinevere dived under the community's central brain. Guinevere plowed through the mass of defenseless flesh, the cat's great claws tearing and slashing a path through the gore. The central brain imparted emotions of absolute terror, trying to inspire its servants. Understanding that help would not soon arrive, the thing reverted to pleading with the panther. Guinevere's primal ferocity, however, allowed for no mental intrusions. The panther dug on savagely and was buried in the spurting slime. Drizzt shouted in outrage, and he ran all about the walkway, trying to find some way to get to the panther. Drizzt felt his beloved master's anguish keenly and pleaded for somebody, anybody, to do something. Other slaves jumped and cried, and mind flayers ran about in a frenzy. But Guinevere was out in the center of the huge mass, beyond the reach of any weapons the mind flayers could use. A few moments later, Drizzt stopped his jumping and shouting. He wondered where and who he was, and what in the nine hells this great disgusting lump of in front of him possibly could be. He looked around the walkway and caught similar confused expressions on the faces of several Duergar dwarves, another dark elf, two goblins, and a tall, wickedly scarred bugbear. The mind flayers still rushed about, looking for some attack angle on the panther, the primary threat, and paid no heed to the confused slaves. Guinevere made a sudden appearance from behind the folds of brain. The cat came up over a fleshy ridge for just a moment, then disappeared back into the gore. Several mind flayers fired their mind blasts at the fleeting target, but Guinevere was out of sight too quickly for their energy cones to strike, but not too quickly for Drizzt to catch a glimpse. Guinevere, the drow cried as a multitude of thoughts rushed back into his mind. The last thing he remembered was floating up among the stalactites in a broken corridor up to where other sinister shapes lurked. An elephant moved right beside the drow, too intent on the action within the brain to realize that Drizzt was a slave no longer. Drizzt had no weapons other than his body, but he hardly cared in that moment of sheer anger. He leaped high into the air behind the unsuspecting monster and kicked his foot into the back of the thing's octopus head. The illithid tumbled forward onto the central brain and bounced along the rubbery folds several times before it could find any hold. All about the walkway, the slaves realized their freedom. The gray dwarves banded together immediately and took down two illithids in a wild rush, pummeling the creatures and stomping on them with their heavy boots. Phoop! A blast came from the side, and Drizzt turned to see the other dark elf reeling from the stunning blow. A mind flayer rushed in on the drow and grabbed him in a tight hug. Four tentacles latched onto the doomed dark elf's face, clamping on, then digging in toward its brain. Drizzt wanted to go to the drow's aid, but a second illithid moved between them and took aim. Drizzt dived to the side as another attack sounded. Phoop! He came up running, desperately trying to put more ground between himself and the illithid. The other drow's scream held Drizzt for a moment, though, and he glanced back over his shoulder. Grotesque, bulging lines crossed up the drow's face, a visage contorted by more anguish than Drizzt had ever before witnessed. Drizzt saw the illithid's head jerk and the tentacles buried beneath the drow's skin and reaching and sucking at his brain. Pulsed and bulged, the doomed drow screamed again one final time. Then he fell limp in the illithid's arms and the creature finished its gruesome feast. The scarred bugbear unwittingly saved Drizzt from a similar fate. In its flight, the 7-foot-tall creature crossed right between Drizzt and the pursuing mind flayer just as the illithid fired again. The blow stunned the bugbear for the moment it took the illithid to close in. As the mind flayer reached for its supposedly helpless victim, the bugbear swung a huge arm and knocked the pursuer to the stone. More mind flayers rushed out onto the balconies overlooking the circular chamber. Drizzt had no idea where his friends might be or how he might escape, but the single door he spotted beside the walkway seemed his only chance. The scarred bugbear unwittingly saved Drizzt from a similar fate. In its flight, the 7-foot-tall creature crossed right between Drizzt and the pursuing mind flayer just as the illithid fired again. The blow stunned the bugbear for the moment it took the illithid to close in. As the mind flayer reached for its supposedly helpless victim, the bugbear swung a huge arm and knocked the pursuer to the stone. More mind flayers rushed out onto the balconies overlooking the circular chamber. Drizzt had no idea where his friends might be or how he might escape, but the single door he spotted beside the walkway seemed his only chance. He charged straight at it, but it burst open just before he arrived. Drizzt crashed into the waiting arms of yet another illithid. If inside of the stone castle was a tumult of confusion, the outside was chaos. No slaves charged at Zaknafian now. The wounding of the central brain had freed them from the mind flayer's suggestions, and now the goblins, gray dwarves, and all the others were more concerned with their own escape. Those closest to the cavern exits rushed out. Others ran about wildly, trying to keep out of range of the continuing illithid mind blasts. Hardly giving his actions a thought, Zaknafian whipped across with a sword, taking out a goblin as it ran, screaming past. Then the spirit wraith closed in on the creature that had been pursuing the goblins. Walking through yet another stunning blast, Zaknafian chopped the mind flayer down. In the stone castle, Drizzt had regained his identity, and the magical spells imbued upon the spirit wraith honed in on the target's thought patterns. With a guttural growl, Zaknafian made a straight course toward the castle, leaving a host of dead and wounded, slave and illithid alike, in his wake. Another wraith bleated out in surprise as it soared through the air. 3 of the beasts limped about across the way. A 4th had followed the Duergar to the bottom of the chasm. This time, though, Clacker's aim was true, and the small, cow-like creature slammed into the lever, throwing it back. At once, the enchanted bridge rolled out and secured itself at Clacker's feet. The hook horror scooped up another gray dwarf, just for luck, and started out across the bridge. He was nearly halfway across when the first mind flayer appeared, rushing toward the lever. Clacker knew that he couldn't possibly get all the way across before the illithid disengaged the bridge. He had only one shot. The gray dwarf, oblivious to its surroundings, went high into the air above the hook horror's head. Clacker held his throw and continued across, letting the illithid close in as much as possible. As the mind flayer reached a 4-fingered hand toward the lever, the Duergar missile crashed into its chest, throwing it to the stone. Clacker ran for his life. The illithid recovered and pushed the lever forward. The bridge snapped back, opening the deep chasm. A final leap, just as the metal and stone bridge zipped out from under his feet, sent Clacker crashing into the side of the chasm. He got his arms and shoulders over the lip of the gorge and kept enough wits about him to quickly scramble over to the side. The illithid pulled back on the lever and the bridge shot out again, clipping Clacker. The hook core had moved far enough to the side, though, and Clacker's grip was strong enough to hold against the force of the rushing bridge as it scraped across his armored chest. The illithid cursed and pulled the lever back, then rushed to meet the hook core. Weary and wounded, Clacker had not yet begun to pull himself up when the illithid arrived. Waves of stunning energy rolled over him. His head drooped and he slid back several inches before his claws found another hold. The mind flayer's greed cost it dearly. Instead of simply blasting and kicking Clacker from the ledge, it thought it would make a quick meal of the helpless Hokor's brain. It knelt before the Clacker, 4 tentacles diving in eagerly to find an opening in his facial armor. Clacker's dual entities had resisted the illithid blast out in the tunnels, and now, too, the stunning mental energy had only a minimal effect. When the illithid's octopus head appeared right in front of his face, it shocked Clacker back to his awareness. A snap of a beak removed 2 of the probing tentacles, then a desperate lunge of a claw caught the illithid's knee. Bones crushed into dust under the mighty grip, and the illithid cried in agony both telepathically and in its watery, otherworldly voice. A moment later, its cries faded as it plummeted down to the deep chasm. A levitation spell might have saved the falling illithid, but such spellcasting required concentration, and the pain of a torn face and crushed knee delayed such actions. The illithid thought of levitating at the same moment that the point of a stalagmite drove through its backbone. The hammer hand crashed through the door of another stone chest. "Damn!" Belwer spat, seeing that this one, too, contained nothing more than illithid clothing. The Borough Warden was certain that his equipment would be nearby, but already half of his former master's rooms lay in ruin with nothing to show for the effort. Belwer moved back to the main chamber and over to the stone seats. Between the two chairs, he spotted the figurine of the panther. He scooped it into a pouch, then squashed the head of the remaining illithid. The astral castaway with his pickaxe hand almost as an afterthought. In the confusion, the Svirfneblin had nearly forgotten that one monster remained. Belwer heaved the body away, sending it down into a heap on the floor. "Maga Kamara," the Svirfneblin muttered when he looked back to the stone chair and saw the outline of a trap door where the creature had been sitting. Never putting finesse above efficiency. Belwer's hammer hand quickly reduced the door to rubble, and the Borough Warden looked upon the welcome sight of familiar backpacks. Belwer shrugged and followed the course of the logic, swiping across at the other illithid, the one Guinevere had decapitated. The headless monster fell away, revealing another trapdoor. "The drow shall find need of these," Belwer remarked when he cleared the chunks of broken stone and lifted out a belt that held two sheathed scimitars. He darted for the exit and met an illithid right in the doorway. More particularly, Belwer's humming hammer hand met the illithid's chest. The monster flew backward, spinning over the balcony's metal railing. Belwer rushed out and charged to the side, having no time to check if the illithid had somehow caught a handhold and having no time to stay in play in any case. He could hear the commotion below, the mental attacks and the screams and the continuing growls of a panther that sounded like music in the Borough Warden's ears. His arms pinned to the sides by the illithid's unexpectedly powerful hug. Driz could only twist and jerk his head about to slow the tentacle's progress. One found a hold, then another, and began burrowing under the drow's ebony skin. Driz knew little of mind flayer anatomy, but it was a bipedal creature, and he allowed himself some assumption. Wiggling a bit to the side so that he was not directly facing the horrible thing, he brought a knee, slamming up into the creature's groin. By the sudden loosening of the illithid's grip and by the way its milky eyes seemed to widen, Drizzt guessed that his assumptions had been correct. His knee slammed up again, then a third time. Drizzt heaved with all his strength and broke free of the weakened illithid's hug. The stubborn tentacles continued their climb up the sides of Drizzt's face, though reaching for his brain. Explosions of burning pain racked Drizzt, and he nearly fainted, his head drooping forward limply. But the hunter would not surrender. When Drizzt looked up again, the fire in his lavender eyes fell upon the illithid like a damning curse. The hunter grasped the tentacles and tore them out savagely, pulling them straight down to bow the illithid's head. The monster fired its mental blast, but the angle was wrong, and the energy did nothing to slow the hunter. One hand held tightly to the tentacles while the other slammed in with the frenzy of a dwarven hammer at a mithril strike on the monster's soft head. Blue-black bruises welled in the fleshy skin. One pupil's eye swelled and closed. A tentacle dug into the drow's wrist. The frantic illithid raked and punched with its arms, but the hunter didn't notice. He pounded away at the head, pounded the creature down to the stone floor. Driz tore his arm away from the tentacle's grasp, then both fists flailed away into the illithid's eyes, closed forever. The ring of metal spun the drow about. Lying on the floor, just a few feet away, was a familiar and welcome sight. Satisfied that the scimitars had landed near his friend, Belwer charged down a stone stairway to the nearest illithid. The monster turned and loosed a blast. Belwer answered with a scream of sheer rage, a scream that partially blocked the stunning effect, and he hurled himself through the air, meeting the waves of energy head-on. Though dazed from the mental assault, the deep gnome crashed into the illithid and they fell over into a second monster that had been rushing up to help. Belwar could hardly find his bearings, but he clearly understood that the jumble of arms and legs all about him were not the limbs of friends. The borough warden's mithril hand slashed and punched, and he scrambled away along the balcony in search of another stair. By the time the two wounded Illithids recovered enough to respond, the wild Sverf Neblin was gone. Belwar caught another Illithid by surprise, splatting its fleshy head flat against the wall as he came down onto the next level. A dozen other mind flayers roamed all about this balcony, though most of them guarding the two stairways down to the tower's bottom chamber. Belwar took a quick detour by springing up to the top of the metal railing, then dropping the 15 feet to the floor. A blast of stunning energy rolled over Drizzt as he reached for his weapons. The hunter resisted, though, his thoughts simply too primitive for such a sophisticated attack form. In a single movement too quick for his latest adversary to respond to, he snapped one scimitar from its sheath and spun about, slicing the blade at an upward angle. The scimitar buried itself halfway through the pursuing mind flayer's head. The hunter knew that the monster was already dead, but he tore out the scimitar and whacked the illithid one more time as it fell, for no particular reason at all. Then the drow was up and running, both blades drawn, one dripping illithid blood and the other hungry for more. Drizzt should have been looking for an escape route. That part that was Drizzt Warden would have looked, but the hunter wanted more. His hunter self demanded revenge on the brain mass that had enslaved him. A single cry saved the drow then, brought him back from the spiraling depths of his blind, instinctive rage. "Drizzt!" Belwar shouted, limping over to his friend. "Help me, Dark Elf! My ankle twisted in the fall!" All thoughts of revenge suddenly thrown away. Drizzt Dwarden rushed to his Sverf Neblin companion's side. Arm in arm, the two friends left the circular chamber. A moment later, Gwenevar, sleek from the blood and gore of the central brain, bounded up to join them. "Lead us out," Drizzt begged the panther, and Gwenevar willingly took up a point of position. They ran down winding, rough-hewn corridors, not made by any Sverf Neblin. Belwar was quick to point out, throwing his friend a wink. "I believe they were," Drizzt retorted easily, returning the wink. "Under the charms of a mind flayer, I mean," he quickly added. "Never," Belwar insisted. "Never the work of a Sverf Neblin is this, not even if his mind had been melted away." In spite of their dire peril, the deep gnome managed to belly laugh, and Drizzt joined him. Sounds of battle sounded from the side passages of every intersection they crossed. Gwenevar's keen senses kept them along the clearest route, though the panther had no way of knowing which way was out. Still, whatever lay in any direction could only be an improvement over the horrors they had left. A mind flayer jumped out into the corridor just after Gwenevar crossed an intersection. The creature hadn't seen the panther and had faced Drizzt and Belwar fully. Drizzt threw the Sverf Neblin down and dived into a headlong roll toward his adversary, expecting to be blasted before he ever got close. But when the drow came out of the roll and looked up, his breath came back in a profound sigh of relief. The mind flayer lay face down on the stone, Gwenevar comfortably perched atop its back. As Gwenevar casually finished the grim business, and Belwar soon joined them. "Anger, Dark Elf," the Sverf Neblin remarked. Drizzt looked at him curiously. "I believe anger can fight back against their blasts," Belwar explained. "One got me up on the stairs, but I was so mad I hardly noticed. Perhaps I am mistaken, but..." "No," Drizzt interrupted, remembering how little he had been affected even at close range when he had gone to retrieve his scimitars. He had been in the thralls of his alter ego then, that darker, maniacal side he had so desperately tried to leave behind. The Illithid's mental assault had been all but useless against the hunter. "You are not mistaken," Drizzt assured his friend. "Anger can beat them, or at least slow the effects of their mind assaults."
"Then get mad," Belwar growled as he signaled Gwenevar ahead. Drizzt threw his supporting arm back under the Borough Warden's shoulder and nodded his agreement with Belwar's suggestion. The drow realized, though, that blind rage, such as Belwar was speaking of, could not be consciously created. Instinctive fear and anger might defeat the Illithids, but Drizzt, with his experiences with his alter ego, knew that
those were emotions brought on by nothing short of desperation and panic. The small party crossed through several more corridors, through a large, empty room and down yet another passage. Slowed by the limping Svefneblin, they soon heard heavy footsteps closing in from behind.
"Too heavy for Aelithids," Triz remarked, looking back over his shoulder. "Slaves," Belwar reasoned.
"Foop!" An attack sounded behind them. "Foop! Foop!" The sounds came to them, followed by several thuds and groans.
"Slaves once again," Triz said grimly.
The pursuing footsteps came on again, this time sounding more like a light shuffle.
"Faster," Driz cried, and Belwar needed no prompting.
They ran on, thankful for every turn in the passage, for they feared that the Illithids were only steps behind. They then came into a large and high hall. Several possible exits came into view, but one, a set of large iron doors, held their attention keenly. Between them and the doors was a spiraling iron stairway, and on a balcony not so far above loomed a mind flare.
"He'll cut us off," Belwar reasoned. The footsteps came louder from behind.
Belwar looked back toward the waiting Illithid curiously when he saw a wide smile cross the drow's face. The deep gnome, too, grinned wildly. Guinevar took the spiraling stairs in three mighty bounds. The Illithid wisely fled along the balcony and off into the shadows of adjoining corridors. The panther did not pursue, but held a high, guarded position above Drizzt and Belwar. Both the drow and the Svefneblin called their thanks as they passed, but their elation turned sour when they arrived at the doors. Driz pushed hard, but the portals would not budge.
"Locked," he cried. "Not for long," growled Belwar.
The enchantment had expired in the deep gnome's mithril hands, but he charged ahead anyway, pounding his hammer hand against the metal. Driz moved behind the deep gnome, keeping a rear guard and expecting the Illithids to enter the hall at any moment.
"Hurry, Belwar," he begged.
Both mithril hands worked furiously on the doors. Gradually, the lock began to loosen, and the doors opened just an inch.
"Maga Kamara, Dark Elf!" the Borough Warden cried. "A bar it is that holds them on the other side!"
"Damn!" Triz spat, and across the way a group of several mind flayers entered the hall. Belwar didn't relent. His hammer hand smashed at the door again and again. The Illithids crossed the stairway, and Guinevar sprang into their midst, bringing the whole group tumbling down. At that horrible moment, Driz realized that he did not have the onyx figurine. The hammer hand banged the metal in rapid succession, widening the gap between the doors. Belwar pushed his pickaxe hand through an uppercut motion and lifted the bar from its locking clasps. The door swung wide.
"Come quickly," the deep gnome yelled to Driz.
He hooked his pickaxe hand under the drow's shoulder to pull him along, but Driz shrugged away the hold. "Guinevar!" Driz cried.
"Foop!"
The evil sound came repeatedly from the pile of bodies. Guinevar's reply came as more of a helpless wail than a growl. Driz's lavender eyes burned with rage. He took a single stride backward toward the stairway before Belwar figured out a solution.
"Wait!" the Svefneblin called,
and he was truly relieved when Driz turned out to hear him. Belwar thrust his hip toward the drow and tore open his belt pouch.
"Use this!"
Driz pulled out the onyx figurine and dropped it at his feet.
"Begone, Guinevar!" he shouted. "Go back to the safety of your home!"
Driz and Belwar couldn't see the panther amid the throng of Illithids, but they sensed the mind flayer's sudden distress even before the telltale black mist appeared around its onyx figurine. As a group, the Illithids spun toward them and charged.
"Get the other door!" Belwar cried.
Driz had grabbed the figurine and was already moving in that direction. The iron portal slammed shut, and Driz worked to replace the locking bar. Several clasps on the outside of the door had been broken under the Borough Warden's ferocious assault, and the bar was bent. But Driz managed to set it in place securely enough to at least slow the Illithids.
"The other slaves are trapped," Driz remarked.
"Goblins and grey dwarves, mostly," Belwar replied.
"And Clacker."
Belwar threw his arms out helplessly.
"I pity them all," groaned Driz, sincerely horrified at the prospect. "Nothing in all the world can torture more than the mental clutches of mind flayers."
"Aye, Dark Elf," whispered Belwar.
The Illithids slammed into the doors and Driz pushed back, further securing the lock.
"Where do we go?" Belwar asked behind, and when Driz turned and surveyed the long and narrow cavern,
he certainly understood the Borough Warden's confusion.
They spotted at least a dozen exits, but between them and everyone rushed a crowd of terrified slaves or a group of illithids. Behind them came another heavy thud, and the doors creaked open several inches. "Just go!" Driz shouted, pushing Belwar along. They charged down a wide stairway and out across the broken floor, picking a route that would get them as far from the stone castle as possible.
"Danger on all sides!" Belwar cried. "Slave and flayer alike!"
"Let them beware!" Driz retorted, his scimitars leading the way. He slammed the goblin down with the hilt of one blade as it stumbled into his way, and a moment later sliced a tentacle from the face of an illithid as it began to suck the brain from a captured Duergar. Then another former slave, a bigger one, jumped in front of Driz. The drow rushed it headlong, but this time he stayed his scimitars.
"Clacker!" Belwar yelled behind Driz.
Back of the cavern!"
The hookcore panted, its grumbled words barely decipherable.
"The best exit!"
"Lead on!" Belwar replied excitedly, his hopes returning. Nothing would stand against the three of them united.
When the Burrow Warden started after the giant hookcore friend, however, he noticed that Drizzt wasn't following. At first, Belwar feared that a mind blast had caught the drow, but then he returned to Driz's side, and he realized otherwise. Atop another of the many wide stairways that ran through the many-tiered cavern, a single, slender figure mowed through a group of slaves and illithids alike.
"By the gods!" Belwar muttered in disbelief,
for the devastating movements of this single figure truly frightened the deep gnome. The precise cuts and deft twists of the twin swords were not at all frightening to Drizzt Warden. Indeed, to the young dark elf, they rang with a familiarity that brought an old ache to his heart. He looked at Belwar blankly and spoke the name of the single warrior who could fit those maneuvers, the only name that could accompany such magnificent swordplay.
Zaknathian.
Chapter 20. Father, my father. How many lies had Matron Malus told him? What truth could Drizzt ever find in the web of deceptions that marked drow society? His father had not been sacrificed to the Spider Queen. Zaknathian was here, fighting before him, wielding his swords as finely as Drizzt had ever seen.
"What is it?" Belwar demanded.
"A drow warrior," Drizzt was barely able to whisper.
"From your city, Dark Elf?" Belwar asked. "Sent after you?"
"From Menza Branzen," Drizzt replied. Belwar waited for more information, but Drizzt was too enthralled by Zaknathian's appearance to go into much detail.
"We must go," the Burrow Warden said at length.
"Quickly,"
agreed Clacker, returning to his friends. The cook whore's voice sounded more controlled now, as though the mere appearance of Clacker's friends had aided his peck side in his continuing internal struggle.
"The Mind Flayers are organizing defenses. Many slaves are down."
Driz spun out of the reach of Belwar's pickhand.
"No," he said firmly. "I'll not leave him." "Maga Kamara, Dark Elf," Belwar shouted at him. "Who is it?"
"Zaknathian Do'Urden," Driz yelled back, more than matching the Burrow Warden's rising ire. Driz's volume dropped considerably as he finished the thought, though when he nearly choked on the words,
"My father."
By the time Belwar and Clacker exchanged disbelieving stares, Drizzt was gone, running to and then up the wide stairway. Atop it, the spirit wraith stood among a mound of victims, mind flayers and slaves alike who had found the great misfortune of getting in his way. Farther along the higher tier, several illithids had taken flight from the undead monster. Zaknathian started to pursue them, for they were running toward the stone castle. Following the course the spirit wraith had determined from the beginning, 1,000 magical alarms sounded within the spirit wraith, though, and abruptly turned him back to the stair. Drizzt was coming, Zenkarla's moment of fulfillment. The purpose of Zaknathian's animation had at last arrived.
"Weapon master!" Drizzt cried, bringing up lightly to stand it by his father's side. The younger drow bubbled with elation, not realizing the truth of the monster standing before him. When Drizzt got near Zack, though, he sensed something was wrong. Perhaps it was the strange light in the spirit wraith's eyes that slowed Drizzt's rush. Perhaps it was the fact that Zaknafian did not return his joyful call. A moment later, it was the downward slice of a sword. Drizzt somehow managed to get a blocking scimitar up in time. Confused, he still believed that Zaknafian simply had not recognized him. "Father," he shouted, "I am Drizzt." One sword dived ahead, while the second started in a wide slice, then rushed suddenly toward Drizzt's side. Matching the spirit wraith's speed, Drizzt came down with one scimitar to parry the first attack and slice across with the other to foil the second. "Who are you?" Drizzt demanded desperately, furiously. A flurry of blows came straight in. Drizzt worked frantically to keep them at bay, but then Zaknafian came across with a backhand and managed to sweep both of Drizzt's blades out to the same side. The spirit wraith's second sword followed closely, a cut aimed straight at Drizzt's heart, one that Drizzt could not possibly block. Back down at the bottom of the stairway, Belwar and Clacker cried out, thinking their friend doomed. Zaknafian's moment of victory was stolen from him, though. By the instincts of the hunter, Drizzt sprang to the side ahead of the plunging blade, then twisted and ducked under Zaknafian's deadly cut. The sword nicked him under his jawbone, leaving a painful gash. When Drizzt completed his roll, he found his footing despite the angles of the stair. He showed no sign of acknowledging the injury. When Drizzt again faced his father's imposter, simmering fires burned in his lavender eyes. Drizzt's agility amazed even his friends who had seen him before in battle. Zaknafian rushed out immediately after completing his swing, but Drizzt was up and ready before the spirit wraith caught up to him. "Who are you?" Drizzt demanded again. This time his voice was deathly calm. "What are you?" The spirit wraith snarled and charged recklessly, believing beyond any doubt that this was not Zaknafian. Drizzt did not miss the opening. He rushed back toward his original position, knocked a sword aside, and slipped a scimitar through as he passed his charging adversary. Drizzt's blade cut through the fine mesh armor and dug deeply into Zaknafian's lung, a wound that would have stopped any mortal opponent. But Zaknafian did not stop. The spirit wraith did not draw breath and did not feel pain. Zak turned back on Drizzt and flashed a smile so evil that it would have made Matron Malice stand up and applaud. Back now on the top of the stairway, Drizzt stood wide-eyed in amazement. He saw the gruesome wound and saw, against all possibility, Zaknafian steadily advancing, not even flinching. "Get away!" Belwar cried from the bottom of the stairs. An ogre rushed at the deep gnome, but Clacker intercepted and immediately crushed the thing's head in a claw.
"We must leave,"
Clacker said to Belwar, the clarity of his voice turning the Burrow Warden on his heel. Belwar could see it clearly in the Hook Horror's eyes. In that critical moment, Clacker was more a peck than he had been since before the wizard's polymorph spell.
"The stones tell me of Illithid's gathering within the castle,"
Clacker explained. The deep gnome was not surprised that Clacker had heard the voices of the stones.
"The Illithids will rush out soon,"
Clacker continued,
"to the certain demise of every slave left in the cavern."
Belwar did not doubt a word of it, but to the Svirfneblin, loyalty far outweighed personal safety.
"We cannot leave the drow," he replied through clenched teeth.
Clacker nodded in full agreement and charged out to chase away a group of gray dwarves that had come too close.
"Run, dark elf," Belwar cried. "We have no time."
Drizzt didn't hear his Svirfneblin friend. He focused on the approaching weapon master, the monster impersonating his father, even as Zaknafian focused on him. Of all the many evils perpetrated by Matron Malice, none, by Drizzt's estimation, were greater than this abomination. Malice somehow had perverted the one thing in Drizzt's world that had given him pleasure. Drizzt had believed Zaknafian dead, and that thought was painful enough. But now this? It was more than the young drow could bear. He wanted to fight this monster with all his heart and soul, and the spirit wraith created for no other reason than this very battle. Wholly concurred, neither noticed the Illithid descending from the darkness above, farther back on the platform behind Zaknafian.
"Come, mouse of Matron Malice," Drizzt growled, sliding his weapon together.
Come and feel my blades! Thugnafian paused only a few steps away and flashed his wicked smile again. The swords came up. The spirit wraith took another step. Whoop! The Illithid's blast rolled over them both. Thugnafian remained unaffected, but Driz caught the force fully. Darkness rolled over him. His eyelids drooped with the undeniable weight. He heard his scimitars fall to the stone, but he was beyond any other comprehension. Zaknafian snarled in gleeful victory, banged his swords together, and stepped toward the falling drow. Belwar screamed, but it was Clacker's monstrous cry of protest that sounded loudest, rising above the din of the battle-filled cavern. Everything Clacker had ever known as a peck rushed back to him when he saw the drow who had befriended him fall, doomed. That peck identity surged back more keenly, perhaps, than Clacker had even known in his former life. Zaknafian lunged, seeing his helpless victim in range, but then smashed headfirst into a stone wall that had appeared from nothingness. The spirit wraith bounced back, his eyes wide in frustration. He clawed at the wall and pounded on it, but it was quite real and sturdy. The stone blocked Zaknafian fully from the stairway and his intended prey. Back down the stairway, Belwar turned his stunned gaze on Clacker. The Swift Neblin heard that some peck could conjure such stone walls. "Did you?" The Borough Warden gasped. The peck in a hook whore's body did not pause long enough to answer. Clacker leaped the stairs, at a stride, and gently hoisted Drizzt in his huge arms. He even thought to retrieve the drow scimitars, then came pounding back down the flight.
"Run!" Clacker commanded the Borough Warden. "For all of your life, run, Belwar Disengulp!"
The deep gnome scratched his head with his pickaxe hand and did indeed run. Clacker cleared a wide path to the cavern's rear exit. None dared stand before his enraged charge, and the Borough Warden, with his short, swift-nibbled legs, one of which was sprained, had a difficult time keeping up. Back up the stairs, behind the wall, Zaknafian could only assume that the floating Illithid, the same one that had blasted Drizzt, had blocked his charge. Zaknafian whirled about on the monster and screamed in sheer hatred. Phoop! Another blast came. Zaknafian leaped up and sliced off both of the Illithid's feet with a single stroke. The Illithid levitated higher, sending mental cries of anguish and distress to its companions. Zaknafian couldn't reach the thing, and with other Illithids rushing in from every angle, the spirit wraith didn't have time to enact his own levitation spell. Zaknafian blamed this Illithid for his failure. He would not let it escape. He hurled a sword as precisely as any spear. The Illithid looked down at Zaknafian in disbelief, then to the blade buried half to the hilt in its chest, and knew that its life was at an end. Mind flayers rushed towards Zaknafian, firing their stunning blasts as they came. The spirit wraith had only one sword remaining, but he smashed his opponents down anyway, venting his frustrations on their ugly octopus heads. Drizzt had escaped, for now. Chapter 21 Lost and Found.
"Praise Loth!" Matron Malice stammered, sensing the distant elation of her spirit wraith. "He has Drizzt!"
The matron mother snapped her gaze to one side, then the other, and her three daughters backed away at the sheer power of the emotions contorting her visage.
"Zaknafian has found your brother!"
Maya and Verna smiled at each other, glad that this whole ordeal might finally be coming to a conclusion. Since the enactment of Zinkarla, the normal and necessary routines of House de Warden had virtually ceased, and every day their nervous mother had turned further and further inward, absorbed by the spirit wraith's hunt. Across the anteroom, Brisa's smile would have shown a different light to any who took the time to notice, an almost disappointed light. Fortunately for the firstborn daughter, Matron Malice was too absorbed by the distant events to take note. The matron mother fell deep into her meditative trance, savoring every morsel of rage the spirit wraith threw out, in the knowledge that her blasphemous son was on the receiving end of that anger. Malice's breathing came in excited gasps as Zaknafian and Driz played through their sword fight. Then the matron mother nearly lost her breath altogether. Something had stopped Zaknafian.
No!
Malice screamed. Leaping out of her decorated throne, she glanced around looking for someone to strike or something to throw.
No! She cried again. It cannot be!
Drizzt has escaped,
Brisa asked, trying to keep the smugness out of her voice. Malice's subsequent glare told Brisa that her tone might have revealed too much of her thoughts.
In the spirit wraith destroyed,
Maya cried in sincere distress.
Not destroyed, Malice replied, an obvious tremor in her usually firm voice. But once more, your brother runs free.
Sincala has not yet failed, Viona reasoned, trying to console her sighted mother.
The spirit wraith is very close, Maya added, picking up Viona's cue.
Malice dropped back into her seat, wiped the sweat out of her eyes.
Leave me,
she commanded her daughters, not wanting them to observe her in such a sorry state. Zancarlo was stealing her life away. Malice knew, for every thought, every hope of her existence hinged on the spirit wraith's success. When the others had gone, Malice lit a candle and took out a tiny, precious mirror. What a wretched thing she had become in the last few 10 days. She had hardly eaten, and deep lines of worry creased her formerly glass-smooth ebony skin. By appearances, Matron Malice had aged more in the last few 10 days than in the century before that.
I will become as Matron Banre,
she whispered in disgust.
Withered and ugly.
For perhaps the very first time in her long life, Malice began to wonder of the value of her continual quest for power and the merciless Spider Queen's favor. The thoughts disappeared as quickly as they had come, though. Matron Malice had gone too far for such silly regrets. By her strength and devotion, Malice had taken her house to the status of a ruling family and had secured a seat for herself on the prestigious ruling council. She remained on the verge of despair, though, nearly broken by the strains of her last few years. Again, she wiped the sweat from her eyes and looked into the little mirror. What a wretched thing she had become. Drizzt had done this to her, she reminded herself. Her youngest son's actions had angered the Spider Queen. His sacrilege had put Malice on the edge of doom.
Get him, my spirit wraith,
Malice whispered with a sneer. At that moment of anger, she hardly cared what future the Spider Queen would lay out for her. More than anything else in all the world, Matron Malice de Warden wanted Drizzt dead. They ran through the winding tunnels blindly, hoping that no monsters could rear up suddenly before them. With the danger so very real at their backs, the three companions could not afford the usual caution. Hours passed, and still they ran. Balwer, older than his friends, and with little legs working 2 strides for every one of Drizzt's and 3 strides for each of Clacker's, tired first, but that didn't slow the group. Clacker hoisted the Borough Warden onto his shoulder and ran on. How many miles had they covered? They could not know when they at last broke for their first rest. Drizzt, silent and melancholy through all of the trek, took up a guard position at the entrance to the small alcove they had chosen as a temporary camp. Recognizing his drow friend's deep pain, Belwer moved to offer comfort.
"Not what you expect, Dark Elf,"
the Borough Warden asked softly, with no answer forthcoming, but with Drizzt obviously needing to talk, Belwer pressed on.
"The drow in the cavern you knew. Did you claim that he was your father?"
Drizzt snapped an angry glare on the Swerf Neblin, but his visage softened considerably when he took the moment to realize Belwer's concern.
"Zaknafian," Drizzt explained. "Zaknafian Durden, my father and mentor. He was who trained me with the blade and who constructed me in all my life. Zaknafian was my only friend in Mount Branzen, the only drow I had ever known who shared my beliefs."
"He meant to kill you," Belwer stated flatly.
Drizzt winced, and the Borough Warden quickly tried to offer him some hope.
"Did he not recognize you, perhaps?"
"He was my father," Drizzt said again. "My closest companion for 2 decades.
"Well, then why, Dark Elf?"
"That was not Zaknafian," replied Drizzt. "Zaknafian is dead, sacrificed by my mother to the Spider Queen."
"Maga Kamara," Belwer whispered,
horrified at the revelation concerning Drizzt's parents.
The straightforwardness with which Driz explained the heinous deed led the Bro Warden to believe that Malice's sacrifice was not so very unusual in the Drow City. A shudder coursed through Belwer's spine, but he sublimated his revulsion for the sake of his tormented friend.
I do not yet know what monster Major Malice had put in Zagnathian's guise, Driz went on, not even noticing Belwer's discomfort.
A formidable foe, whatever it may be, the deep gnome remarked.
That was exactly what troubled Driz. The drow warrior he had battled in the Illithid Cavern moved with the precision and unmistakable style of Zagnathian Dorden. Driz's rationale could deny that Zagnathian would turn against him, but his heart told him that the monster he had crossed swords with was indeed his father.
How did it end? Driz asked after a long pause.
Belwer looked at him curiously.
The fight, Driz explained. I remember the Illithid, but nothing more.
Belwer shrugged and looked to Clacker.
Ask him, the borough warden replied. A stone wall appeared between you and your enemies, but how it got there I can only guess.
Clacker heard the conversation and moved over to his friends.
I put it there,
he said, his voice still perfectly clear.
Powers of a peck?
Belwer asked. The deep gnome knew the reputation of peck powers with the stone, but not in enough detail to fully understand what Clacker had done.
We are a peaceful race,
Clacker began, realizing that this might be his only chance to tell his friends of his people. He remained more peck-like than he had since the polymorph, but already he felt the base urges of a Hakor creeping back in.
We desire only to work the stone. It is our calling and our love, and with this symbiosis with the earth comes a measure of power. The stones speak to us and aid us in our toils.
Driz looked wryly at Belwer, like the earth elemental you once raised against me. Belwer snorted an embarrassed laugh.
No,
Clacker said soberly, determined not to get sidetracked.
Deep gnomes, too, can call upon the powers of the earth. But theirs is a different relationship. The Svefnebli's love of the earth is only one of their varied definitions of happiness.
Clacker looked away from his companions to the rock wall.
Peck are brothers with the earth. It aids us as we aid it, out of affection.
You speak of the earth as though it is some sentient being, Driz remarked. Not sarcastically, just out of curiosity.
It is Dark Elf, replied Belwer,
imagining Clacker as he must have appeared before his encounter with the wizard.
For those who can hear it.
Clacker's huge beaked head nodded in accord.
Svefnebli can hear the earth's distant song, he said. Peck can speak to it directly.
This was all quite beyond Drizzt's understanding. He knew the sincerity in his companion's words, but drow elves were not nearly as connected to the rocks of the Underdark as the Svefnebli and the Peck. Still, if Drizzt needed any proof of what Belwer and Clacker were hinting at, he had only to recall his battle against Belwer's earth elemental that decade ago, or imagine the wall that had somehow appeared out of nowhere to block his enemies in the Illithid Cavern.
What do the stones tell you now? Drizzt asked Clacker. Have we outdistanced our enemies?
Clacker moved over and put his ear to the wall.
The words are vague now,
he said with obvious lament in his voice. His companions understood the connotations of his tone. The earth was speaking no less clearly. It was Clacker's hearing, impeded by the impending return of the Hakor, that had begun to fade.
I hear no others in pursuit,
Clacker went on,
but I am not so sure as to trust my ears.
He snarled suddenly, spun away, and walked back to the far side of the alcove. Drizzt and Belwer exchanged concerned looks, then moved to follow.
What is it? The borough warden dared to ask Okor, though he could guess readily enough.
I am falling,
Clacker replied. And the grating that had returned to his voice only emphasized the point.
In Illithid Cavern, I was Peck. More Peck than ever before. I was Peck in narrow focus. I was the earth.
Belwer and Driz seemed not to understand.
The wall,
Clacker tried to explain.
Bringing up such a wall is the task that only a group of Peck elders could accomplish, working together through painstaking rituals.
Clacker paused and shook his head violently as though he was trying to throw out the hook horse-eyed. He slammed a heavy claw into the stone wall and forced himself to continue.
Yet I did it. I became stone and merely lifted my hand to block Drizzt's enemies.
And now it is leaving, Drizzt said softly. The peck is falling away from your grasp once again, buried under the instincts of a hook whore.
Clacker looked away and again banged a hook against the wall in reply. Something in the motion brought him comfort, and he repeated it over and over, rhythmically tapping as if trying to hold on to a piece of his former self. Drizzt and Belwer walked out of the alcove and back into the corridor to give their giant friend his privacy. A short time later, they noticed that the tapping had ceased, and Clacker stuck his head out. His huge, bird-like eyes filled with sorrow. He stuttered. Words sent shivers to the spines of his friends, for they found they could not deny his logic or his desire.
Please, kill me.
And that brings us to the end of our reading. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for sticking through so long and listening to this. I hope you enjoyed it as I did. I always enjoy doing this reading for you guys. And it means a lot to me that all of you who listen to it enjoy it as you do. Thank you very, very much. Again, my name is Chadwick Daigle, and you can reach me, if you wish, on the Twitter at @crow_HVVH. Again, Twitter, that is at crow, K-R-O-W-E, _HVVH. You can catch me on Instagram, Chadwick1224. On Instagram, that is Chadwick1224. And then, of course, on Facebook as Chadwick Daigle. I do love hearing from those of you who are fans of the Legend of Driz series, and I enjoy hearing your appreciation of my dramatic reading. Thank you again, and stay tuned. There will be more. Bye-bye.